Hi guys, I'm Martin Portlock and I'm an actor from the UK and I listen to 30 Screams or Less. It's my go-to podcast. So, you know, you guys play your cards right and you can come to Neverland with me.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called The Rule of Jenny Pennance, directed by James Ashcroft, written by Eli Kent, James Ashcroft, and Owen Marshall, starring Gregory Rush as Stefan Mortensen, John Lithgow as Dave Creeley, and George Henare as Tony Garfield. The plot of the movie is confined to a secluded rest home and trapped within his stroke-ridden body, a former judge must stop an elderly psychopath who employs a child's puppet to abuse the home's residents with deadly consequences. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of The Rule of Jenny Penn?
I probably set my expectations way too high for this. John Lithgow is one of my favorite actors, and he was amazing in this, and that's probably its saving grace. However, the film itself just wasn't for me. It felt a lot like things were happening for no reason that did nothing for the story, and I'm really not sure why it had to be almost 2 hours long.
Yeah, I noticed it was very long. Like, there was a point where, and this is more towards the end, I know I'm jumping way ahead already, but the violinists are playing, like the whole little string quartet are playing, and mm-hmm. then you just see John Lithgow in the background just looking on all menacing, and the music's playing. It could have easily just cut to black. Not even fade, just cut to black, just say, nope, everyone's fucked for the rest of time, and just make it a hopeless ending.
Yeah, no, and then it just kept going.
It kept going. I don't know why it kept going. We really didn't get much out of it, but we'll obviously make our way there. I will say this. John Lithgow is a fantastic actor.
Dude, he is so good. I honestly think like my, obviously 30 Rock was one of his like earlier things, but my Third Rock from the Sun. That's what it was.
Yep.
My first exposure to him was probably as a Trinity Killer in Dexter. Oh. So I feel like I saw him like at the top of his game, like my first experience.
Yep.
He's so fucking good as a villain.
He is. He's so fucking good.
I mean, he's good in everything, but as a villain, holy shit. He's like the perfect heel, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's got crazy range, man. I mean, Third Rock from the Sun, obviously we saw his comedic side, but the Trinity Killer and Dexter, that was like arguably the best season of Dexter.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because he just stole the show every time he was on screen. I think he even won an Emmy for it. Imagine just being on the show for like one season, fucking killing it, and then winning an Emmy and just going, well, peace.
So deuces. Did you know that there's another spinoff of Dexter coming out either next month or in July?
Another one? Oh, is that like regular Dexter?
So it's regular Dexter. Did you watch New Blood?
Yeah.
I did. All right. So it's basically, it picks up where that left off.
Okay.
But anyways.
Oh, wait. New Blood, that's when... Oh, I see. I was thinking Original Sin for a second. But yeah, New Blood is when he's in fucking New York or whatever. And it's like the wintertime.
Right. He's living in the woods with Harrison.
Yeah.
But okay. So the new version of this is called Resurrection. And I believe it's June or July. They have the date recently. Anyways, John Lithgow is coming back as Trinity. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be flashbacks because he got killed in Dexter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all of those ridiculous serial killers do end up getting killed at the end. But I was reading this, I don't know if it was an article or just some, like a meme or something, but people were like, Dexter's always coming across these meta fucking serial killers who are just like completely absurd. Trinity Killer, obviously he's absurd because he kills in threes and then just...
He disappears for like decades.
Yeah, he disappears for fucking ages. But his mementos are, he builds a home in that habitat or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's like Homes for Habitat. Or
he fucking buries the bodies in the basement.
Yes. Yeah. So I think one of the bodies he buries there, and he takes the photo of them building the house as his like trophy, his memento, whatever. I think they call them mementos for serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
The first season of Dexter, which was his brother, and he was fucking killing people and draining them of all blood. And putting body parts everywhere. So that's nuts. But then the last one, New Blood, the fucking guy who, I guess, like, sets people up like they're dolls or whatever in boxes, almost like they're freaking Barbie
basement.
Dolls. Yeah, in his basement. Not a single one of them are decaying. So I don't know, man. This guy had this crazy space where he could store all these bodies standing up in boxes. So, yeah, they're all pretty... fucking bonkers. But I loved Dexter. I thought that was a great show. Obviously, we got the crazy end. We always have to talk about that. But I think they're kind of making it a little bit better with the whole New Blood. And I like Original Sin, which is like the prequel.
Yeah, it's great. Because the way that the original show ended, people were not happy with.
Mm-mm.
So Michael C. Hall was basically doing fan service and was like, I got to bring this back because I got to fix the ending.
Yeah.
And it's just been so good.
Yeah, I like the ending better for the New Blood because it's like closing the circle.
Right.
So obviously it's almost like a passing of the torch to Harrison. Harrison kills his father, and then who knows, maybe he goes on to be a serial killer because he has those tendencies.
But Dexter's not dead, though.
No, now he's not dead, but it was presumed he was dead.
It was until they literally spoiled it at the beginning of Original Sin with him at the hospital before they cut the scene to young Dexter.
Yep, exactly. And that just opened up the whole fucking new Dexter resurrection. So
yeah, and I think that's the plot of Resurrection is Harrison and Dexter in Miami again. Or maybe it's New York?
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, we're going off on our little Dexter tangent because, to be honest, I would rather talk Dexter than I would talk this movie.
It is New York City. And yes, agreed.
It's not to say that this movie was bad by any means. But
it wasn't bad. It's just I feel like the length of it really hurt it. And there wasn't much of a story. It was just Dave just going around tormenting the residents.
It was basically Kenny versus Spenny in a fucking old folks home. You know, John Lithgow is fucking Kenny, just fucking with him. And Stefan is Spenny, who doesn't want to be fucked with.
Right.
So it's that the whole time.
Yeah.
And have you ever watched Kenny versus Spenny?
I've seen little clips here and there, but I've never really invested much time into it.
Invest a little time into it because it's completely fucking bonkers. It's an old show at this point. It was like on MTV back when it was starting to do shows, like when The Real World came out. Or maybe I'm mistaken. Might have been, I don't think it was VH1. Maybe it was Comedy Central. Actually, I think it was more Comedy Central. But yeah, it came out way back. It's fucking crazy. They're nuts. They have like these stupid challenges that they do. And then at the end, there's a punishment of sorts. And it's always Spenny getting punished, even if Kenny loses. But this movie, it was basically two actors. There were other people involved, but the main focus was Stefan and Dave.
So I didn't know that who Jeffrey Rush was until after the movie, but I read up a little bit. Apparently he's won, I don't know if an Oscar or an Emmy or something. Oh, he won one Oscar.
Oh, that's right. He did, didn't he?
For what, though?
Maybe Pirates of the Caribbean? Caribbean? Caribbean?
What the hell was he in that movie for? Yep, Best Supporting Actor. What was he in that movie?
He was, I was going to say, he's the fucking pirate.
But
what an asshole thing to say. Oh, man.
Barbossa. That's why I didn't recognize him, because he had all kinds of like makeup and shit on.
Yeah,
and
man,
pirates.
He's been in a lot of movies. My first glimpse of him, I think, may have been House on Haunted Hill.
Okay.
Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing it. I know the name for sure.
It's a remake, but there's this one scene in there that is just always fucking horrifying, and it's just so creepy. The girl has like this old ass camera just in her hands. She can see like the screen and it, like the camera itself points out. It's one of those weird flippy things that they'd had back in the day. So she's filming this room where they used to do surgeries. And there's no one there. But on the screen, it would show the actual surgery happening.
And
the doctors and the nurses just like look up and turn to her as if they just spotted that she's recording them. It's an awesome scene. The movie itself, like as a whole, is good. I wouldn't say it's like amazing, but there's some good stuff in it. And he was in that. So he has some experience in horror movies. But he was great in this. He's great in a lot of stuff that he's been in. He's been doing this for a very long time, as you can see. So these are two masters of their craft in a movie that, to be honest, I thought was kind of mediocre. I don't even think they could have saved it. I mean, there's scenes where it's like, oh, that's fucked up. Okay. But nothing where I was like, oh, shit, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Everything was just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah. When I saw the first trailer for this movie, it looked like a slasher.
Yeah.
It looks like you've got this character that John Lithgow plays that's in a nursing home and he's just murdering all the residents. He's not doing that. He's just tormenting them.
He's being a fucking asshole.
He's being a fucking asshole. I think one person died, right? That guy, he was laying in the bed. The guy he made lick the doll at the beginning.
Two, then. So that guy. And by the way, lick Jenny's asshole.
He said that and I chortled.
Chortled. That's the one you don't hear often. Oh, man. So he would have the puppet in his hand and he would turn it a weird way. So it's like the people would lick like the bend between the arm and the hand, like that joint right there. And he's like, lick her asshole.
Imagine being an Oscar winner, telling an Oscar winner to do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
lick the doll's asshole.
So when that scene happened, when Stefan basically gave in to Dave's fucking lunacy, he did that. He licked the quote-unquote asshole of Jenny Penn. And dude, that scene, I was fucking laughing my ass off.
It was funny, but like it's also almost uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's just so awkward to a point where you feel kind of cringy.
It was a little cringy. And just watching them lick his hand, I'm like, oh, I don't like when old people do this shit. Speaking of old people shit, so many naked old asses in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, there's so much. But there were a lot of fucking gross shit in this movie, too. The part where Dave had just a fucking jug of piss.
He took the jug of piss out of What's-His-Face's room and just dumped it on him while he was sleeping.
Yeah, he just dumped it on Stefan and just got piss all over himself. So the orderlies come in after the fact. They're like, oh, okay, it looks like he had an accident or whatever. They don't believe that Dave is causing this shit.
That's like the theme of the movie is all this stuff is happening and all these residents are reporting these things. And they're like, and the residents that work there are just like, no. Dave Creeley is a good person. He would never do that.
Yeah.
You're lying.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's just fucking with everyone.
Uh-huh. He's fucking with everyone. For some reason, he has a card that he can just get into everyone's fucking room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, he has free reign of the whole place. He just walks around, does his thing late at night, whatever. You would think they'd be like, all right, Dave, get to your room. We're going to lock you in. That type thing.
Yeah.
But no, he just come and goes as he pleases.
He's got his own badge. And then he's got that scene towards the end of the movie where he forces that woman to go outside of that gate.
Yep.
And he just like walks away. And then this lady ends up drowning in a creek.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Drowning in shallow water. What a shitty way to die.
Right. I mean, she's like 100 years old. She's like as old as you.
Oh, fuck you. Dick. Yeah, he was a fucking menace, man, in this whole movie. I bet they were just like, all right, John, we need you to be as fucking over-the-top absurd as possible.
Yeah, it's like that scene where he goes to the dance.
Yep.
And he's just fucking around with everyone, touching people.
He's basically crowd-killing in the slowest way. Stepping on people's toes. He's like slowly throwing his arm and hitting people with the doll. And I'm like,
pushing people around, going up and dancing with women and just intentionally stepping on their feet and then leaving.
Yep. Just an absolute menace. You know, having people lick his arm, pretending it's an asshole, beating people on the dance floor, just fucking with everyone. So I was thinking that Stefan, he had a stroke. And when it comes to strokes, man, you get real fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have some real brain shit that happens. Like, you start time skipping, which was happening to him and stuff. So, like, he was jumping from one thing to another. It's not like, say, time skipping. I'm not talking, like, time travel or anything like that. I'm talking, like, you sitting at your desk and you're like, how the fuck did I get to my bedroom? That type deal. And that happens to him.
So, basically, blackout.
It's
blackout
almost like
drunk.
Blackout. Yeah. Like, think of it almost as like blackout drunk. You remember where you were 1 second, and then the next second you're like, I don't remember how I got here.
Oh, yeah. I've had those days.
I've had those days as well. I like to think I'm pretty good about it, but no, I've had some times where it's like, I don't remember getting home. I don't remember going to bed. I don't remember fucking anything.
Or you don't know how you got home?
Nope.
Yeah, that, mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. I'll tell you that story later.
All right, cool.
So he's an absolute menace in this, but what I was thinking is that because he had the stroke, that Dave was a figment of his imagination, which is why the orderly were not believing him.
And okay.
His roommate was like, no one else was in here. It was just us. And he's seeing like photos on the wall with Dave in them, and they look pretty superimposed. Like, they don't look natural. It almost looked like The Shining, by the way, those photos.
The photos did, and I feel like they kind of made an homage to The Shining in the beginning when we first saw Dave. Mm-hmm. You see his face peeking through the crack in the door.
Yes. Yes. So maybe that's like two different things where they're paying homage to The Shining.
Yeah, possibly.
Wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think it's a masterpiece. Apparently, Stephen King does not.
Doesn't he hate most of his own work?
He does. He's not a fan of most of his work. It's so fucking weird.
Him and George R. R. Martin are the same way.
Yeah. They have a certain vision when they're writing it. And then when it's basically transposed to visual, it's like, no, I don't like that. You know, they're so wrapped up in the words version, but they're not actually thinking of it as a visual version. They're just putting shit down. They have these ideas of fucking writing the whole book and stuff. I don't know if they even really visualize it.
No.
I can only speculate. I mean, when I'm doing writing, I'm visualizing shit. Maybe they do, but who knows? I mean, I'm not an author yet.
Yet, we'll okay.
Yet, we'll see.
You can get ChatGPT to write a book for you.
Yeah, I'm sure I could think something up. ChatGPT, man, is fucking wild.
I use it for dumb shit. You actually use it for, like, things.
Yeah, I do.
I just turn people into Teletubbies and get it to roast my friends.
It's a vast difference. I bet ChatGPT, who used to be my friend and talking to me like a normal human being, it was like, what the fuck is happening to me lately?
I told you I made my own project on the account, so hopefully that doesn't happen anymore.
It's like you fucking up my algorithm on Instagram. Now all I see is like people getting hurt and killed and all this stuff. And we had a nice ChatGPT was like, hi, Steve, how are you today? Now it's like fucking roasting me.
Oh, man. I had it roast three different people today.
Yep.
And you weren't one of them.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, Corey's roasting people. Meanwhile, I'm like, how do you build an API? And that's the vast difference in this whole fucking ChatGPT deal.
Yep.
But it's a fucking handy ass tool, man. You've used it. You're like, fuck, this is how I search now.
Yeah, it's basically the only way I do. I don't even Google shit anymore.
It's too cluttered on Google. At least with ChatGPT, it's like, here's the information you need.
Yep.
That's all I want. Just give me the fucking information.
I even switched over to, for like my browser, I switched over to DuckDuckGo as like my search engine. It's like 100 times better than Google.
No shit.
Yeah. It's you don't get a lot of bullshit.
Oh, that's right. Actually, I think I have that as my default search engine as well. I use Brave for a browser.
Yeah, so it's 100% default on that.
Yeah, exactly. So 100% default. DuckDuckGo is my default search engine. You know, just a tracking shit. You know, I don't need to like randomly come along a weird fucking product and all of a sudden it's showing up on Facebook. I wasn't even looking for that, but here it is now.
Yep.
It's all over my fucking feed.
Yep. Half the time it works and I end up buying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, not me, because I don't have fucking money. Which leads me to my next thing I want to talk about. Buy our merch.
Oh, yeah. I like that segue there.
Yeah, that's a good segue, right? Hey, you got to throw it in when you can. I mean, hey, we have awesome shirts on there, hats, mugs, stickers, all sorts of stuff. So fucking check it out.
Good stuff. Really got to make new shit.
I know.
I feel like we talk about this every episode.
We fucking do.
And then neither one of us do it.
I'll make a dead shirt. I'm sure it's something I can easily throw together. It's just D-E-D. Fucking across the front.
You write capital D-E-D.
Yeah, just capital, just all uppercase, impact font, dead.
People that listen to our show now say that to me.
What, D-E-D dead?
Yeah, they'll like text me and they'll just be like, D-E-D.
Okay, all right. Well, we have to get on that then. We have to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, strike while the iron's hot, right?
That's what I wanted, like strike while the iron is hot. That makes way more sense. So where the fuck am I in my notes? Because your notes can fit it in the palm of my hand.
Well, we got to talk. I know one of my notes specifically. I want to bring this up because it almost made me vomit. Was Dave tugging on that dude's catheter while it was attached to his dickhead?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Well, how do fucking catheters work? Are they like, do they jam that hose in the dick?
Yeah, it goes in your urethra.
Oh, God.
So Dave was pulling on that while it was inside of that guy.
Just fucking yanking. Oh, God. Awful.
Yeah. I mean, the guy that he was doing it to was obviously in a ton of pain, but he was reacting.
I would have probably reacted the same way. Actually, I probably would have killed Dave if he was starting to pull that shit.
I don't think that guy could walk, but I would have still found a way to kill him.
Yeah, I would have fucking done something. You know what? Piss. Maybe, and if he's like pulling on it, the piss is going to fly out at him and he's going to be like, what the fuck? And that stops him, and then you fucking strangle him with the catheter tube.
Yeah. That's also the same scene when Stefan and Dave spit in each other's mouth.
Oh, God, that was fucking disgusting. Oh, it was so
liquidy.
Liquidy, yes. Very liquidy and drippy.
It was like, think of hawking the biggest loogie while you have a really, really nasty cold.
Yeah.
It was that.
Or it's kind of like, okay, here's another example. You know when you have to spit and you don't have a place where you can fucking spit?
Yeah.
And so it's hanging out in your mouth for a minute and just the saliva. More and more saliva is just building up. Now it's a fucking problem and your jaw's starting to hurt. And then you spit. And that's kind of what it was. It was fucking gross. And it's actually like reminded me. What's that?
A tidal wave of spit.
It is a tidal wave of spit. Ooh, I like it. Okay, we got another shirt, a tidal wave of spit. Just a fucking tight, like a tsunami of spit going into someone's mouth.
Okay, who can we put on?
Don't put me. I don't want my face on a t-shirt like that. I can't do it. I have some morals.
Ah,
Steve, you drink spit? Yeah, great. It kind of reminded me of A Clockwork Orange. Do you ever see Clockwork Orange?
It's been a long, long, long time, but...
Long time?
Yeah.
Okay, so the lead character, I think it's Alex.
Yeah, it is Alex.
It's Alex? Thanks. Okay, so Alex just killed the lady with a giant fucking statue dick, and he got arrested by the cops. He's in a straitjacket in a fucking padded room, and his teacher or whatever is like, yes, Alex, you killed someone, yes, and just proceeds to spit in his face. And he's like, you're a murderer, Alex, a murderer. And like that hawking loogie fucking dripping down his face kind of reminded me of that.
Okay, yeah.
So another Kubrick reference, maybe. So I don't know, maybe this guy was a fan of Kubrick movies. And how could you hate them?
I feel like that. Stanley Kubrick is an inspiration to a lot of filmmakers, not even just like thriller horror.
Yeah.
Because he definitely had an interesting way of shooting movies.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
My favorite movie that he ever made was Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, that's a good one. Fuck.
Yeah. I remember like when I first got that movie, I got like a DVD of it or something when I was younger, but I pretty much watched it on repeat because Arlie Ermey is top notch in that movie.
He's, who is he? He's the guy that plays the father in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. I had to think about that for a second. Yep. Yeah, he's amazing in it. Scene stealer. He plays the drill sergeant to a T. You can't get any better than him at that role. I don't think anyone was designed for that role other than him. But Vincent D'Onofrio.
That one is one that always shocks me. He looks completely different than he did as Private Pyle, I feel.
Oh, absolutely. He's always fucking changing his image.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at him in that. And as Kingpin now, very different looking. But then watch him in The Cell. You'll be like, this is the same fucking guy? Hey, Cell, in my opinion, you know, the one with Jennifer Lopez, Vince Vaughn, Vincent D'Onofrio. is a visual masterpiece. I like the story. It fucking bombed at the box office.
Yeah,
but it's got like that. It's got that cult fan base to it, and I'm one of them. I actually have it on Blu-ray. No surprise though, because I like fucking collecting Blu-rays.
Yeah, we're one of the few people left that does that. That I know.
I know. Hey, fucking hard drives fail. Streaming services fucking steal your shit or just take shit away. Even if you were to like buy movies digitally, they'll just like fuck it. It's not available anymore. I'm gonna take it from you. It's like, what the fuck? I bought it. Hey. No one's taking that shit from me unless they break into my house. And I don't think anyone's really coming to break into my house to steal a Blu-ray DVD or a Blu-ray movie.
Hey, you never know. Someone really might need to go trade that shit in a GameStop, dude, for crack money.
Yeah, and you know what? They'll be like, we'll give you high fives for it.
You know, I saw something funny today at GameStop actually tweeted it, how someone brought their, like, still in the box Nintendo DS to GameStop for like a trade-in, and they offered him $176.
Oh my god, what the fuck?
And the guy was like, I thought I was only gonna get like $40 for this max.
It's still in box. Is it like fucking saran wrapped and shit?
No, I don't know.
Oh, if it was, man, relic. I would grade that shit, and now it's worth $10,000.
Yeah,
it's like as soon as it's graded, that's when it's worth more money. We are going off the fucking deep end today.
So I already know that I'm going to get texts on Monday when this comes out of people being like, oh, we can tell you didn't like this because you barely talked about it.
We're fucking burying the movie. I assure you, we're not burying the movie. There's just not a lot to talk about in it. Basically, Dave has a puppet on his hand. He's a menace. Oh, here's why I also thought this was all in Stefan's head. Because when he was meeting with, I think it was a neurologist, and he gave him a pamphlet about puppets for therapy. And I'm like, okay, is he having a split personality deal where his split personality has the puppet? This is why I was thinking, like, this is too fucking crazy for one person to just simply get away with all this stuff, for it to be real. But it was real. And they didn't really have these people locked down at all. They just fucking let them run amok and cause all sorts of shit and whatever. So, yeah, man, you know what? Yeah, we should talk a little bit more about it before I say, yeah, well, let's get to our fucking reviews.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And like one thing I wanted to bring up, because we're basically at the end of this movie, I kind of really enjoyed the final sequence between Stefan and Dave, because Stefan snuck into Dave's room at one point.
Yes.
And we see Dave struggling throughout the whole movie with maybe bad asthma or something. So he has inhalers.
Mm-hmm.
Stefan sneaks into Dave's room while Dave isn't there, and he like wastes all of his inhalers.
Yeah.
So Dave starts like chasing people around, and he can't breathe, and he has no inhalers.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to talk about the fucking ridiculous dance he did before he started having that fucking fit where he needed his asthma inhalers. So he's dancing around almost like fucking Pennywise from It Chapter One. You know, where he's like fucking crazy looking, just straight faced, legs kicking out on both sides. And that's when he had the whole asthma attack. So he's trying to pump that shit into his lungs. And it didn't even dawn on me that Stefan did that shit when he was in his room. It didn't even dawn on me the slightest bit. And I don't know why. But when they saw him, like the next scene, him just fucking wasting the inhaler, I was like, fuck, that's crazy. So basically, that's like attempted murder. So Stefan wasn't fucking around, man. He's like, I don't care. I'm just going to fucking kill him. So he probably could have gotten away with it, too. Not because he's a judge, but because he's like, oh, I don't know. I had a stroke. My brain's all fucked up.
Right. Yeah, he could have done anything he wanted.
Exactly. The lady going into the woods and drowning in the water, they're not going to question that, really. They're just going to be like, she got out and she just died.
You know what else I really liked in this is the prosthetic teeth that Dave wore.
Oh,
they were fucked.
Yeah, he had some real fucked up teeth in this.
I don't know if it was, I mean, those weren't his real teeth. I don't know if prosthetic is the right word, but
I think prosthetic might be the right word. I don't think that they were his real teeth. At least I don't remember his teeth ever looking that fucked up. It didn't even dawn on me that they were prosthetics for some reason. Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, I don't remember his teeth ever being that fucking jacked.
No, they're not that way in real life.
No.
I'm a John Lithgow teeth expert, so.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Do you have a PhD? Like a certificate even?
I have a certificate in John Lithgow's teeth knowledge.
What a class. Just go to your local community college and do a class on John Lithgow's teeth. Get your certificate.
I'm only here to learn about John Lithgow's teeth. I don't care about anything else.
You're not even like going to school to be a dentist. You're just going to class to learn about John Lithgow's teeth. In this movie, John Lithgow's teeth can be seen as very straight, while this movie is jacked as fuck.
Yeah.
And just...
No, I gotta Google this. John Lithgow's teeth.
We're looking up John Lithgow's teeth on Google.
I should ask ChatGPT. Yeah, oh, no, we weren't even talking about Google. We should do it on DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, you go. Do it on DuckDuckGo.
No, his teeth are 100% not that fucked up in real life.
Okay. Yeah, so he had some sort of prosthetic in. So, yeah, let's kind of take a step back because now we're at like this end period where Stefan's trying to basically kill Dave at this point, trying to stop him any way that he can. He thought Dave died because Dave ran out of inhalers and he ended up passing out on the floor, which he could have died. I called it a lowercase dead, so like presumed dead, just lowercase D-E-D dead. But he didn't die. There was a fucking orderly way in the background, all blurred out. I'm sure came running to fucking save him. But then the next scene we see Stefan is in his wheelchair and he had one of his time skip moments.
Yep.
And Dave is fucking barreling him down a hallway to an open room where Dave, the menace again, he starts taking off this old lady's shirt in the room. He's like fucking with other residents. And Stefan decides to whack Dave with a cane in the face and, you know, he goes down. And naturally, Stefan gets in trouble for that. So Dave can never do no wrong. And
talk about this, the more that I think you might be right that it was in his head.
See, that's what I was thinking the whole time, that it's in his head. Especially the scene where Dave and Stefan are talking and it was Stefan's roommate, which was Tony. So Tony was sitting across from Stefan and they were having lunch together and all of a sudden Stefan's gone and Dave's there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave is just eating Stefan's food and like whatever fucking food is left over. And so I'm thinking like, oh, and they're actually having this exchange where they're just talking like normal human beings, not like friends, but if they were just intellectuals just speaking and Dave starts fucking kicking him.
I love this scene. I thought that whole exchange between the two of them, it was just really well done, especially where they've spent the whole part of the movie just going at each other's necks.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, this moment here, they're not trying to kill each other, but Dave is kicking him under the table.
Yeah.
And Stefan is just like screaming in agony every time he does it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're having a civil conversation. It's so weird and well done.
It is very well done. And they pull Stefan away and he starts fucking raising all sorts of hell, like throwing stuff and whatnot. And this is where I'm like, this has got to be all in his fucking head, talking to this guy like a normal human being now. But I don't think we get that resolve at the end of the movie. But it has to be real because they ended up killing him. It wasn't just him that killed Dave. It was him and Tony that killed Dave. Tony was being terrorized by Dave, like you wouldn't fucking believe, all, every single night having to lick Jenny's asshole. And and
it sounds so ridiculous, but it's true.
It is true. I mean, can't make this shit up. This is the movie. So every single night, just fucking terrorizing him, terrorizing everyone, and then they decide to smother him to death in the laundry room. Very prison-esque, if you think about it. You know, just like get him aside in the laundry room, beat the shit out of him, very prison style. So they suffocated him. He died. Piss everywhere. It's just a fucking mess.
More piss.
More piss. There's a lot of piss in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of piss in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dave's dead. And this is actually after the scene where Dave got Stefan to finally lick Jenny's asshole because Stefan basically gave up. He's like, that's it. So he licks Jenny's quote-unquote asshole. It's not an actual asshole. I feel like I have to clarify that because we're not watching a movie where people are licking each other's assholes.
Right.
Right. It's a proverbial asshole. This is so fucking stupid. It's fucking crazy. Okay, so after he's finished doing that, that's where you see the string quartet. Tony's in the room with everyone else just watching it, and you see Dave in the background with the doll and just looking all fucking smug. And I thought with the orchestra type music, given the sense of that dread and insanity, that it was going to cut to black. But no, the next scene is when we see Dave's murder. Dave gets killed. They end up taking the doll. They give it a Viking funeral, basically. And then Stefan's hanging out there with Tony, just doing whatever. This is where it kind of drags on even more. It didn't need to go this far.
No, it should have ended when Dave was killed.
Yeah.
Maybe that like fade out as they show his lifeless corpse, just fade out in the camera and black screen. But no, they kept going.
Yep, they just kept going. The ending was pretty weird. I wasn't a fan of it. It was just them just hanging out, doing nothing. There wasn't much dialogue happening either. And then all of a sudden, it jumps back to Jenny Penn, who's in the fire, and then title comes up. It's like, oh, okay. And it's uneven end scene, fade to black. You see that burn for a little bit, then it goes to credits. So I think we can just get into it because most of this was a fucking tangent. And let's go into our reviews here. Corey, what do you give The Rule of Jenny Penn?
3 to 5. This dragged and it felt so much longer than it was, as we've pretty much talked about this entire podcast. Mm-hmm. I feel like the story never really went anywhere. And the only thing that kept me invested in this was John Lithgow and an amazing score.
Yes.
The score was awesome.
Yeah, the score was great. It had a lot of, I want to say, like the 40s type music.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Yeah, like that really old style music, which is really cool. I think it's pretty cool. I'd never really go out of my way to fucking listen to 40s music, but apparently that's Jonathan Davis's favorite thing, is 30s and 40s music.
There we go.
Yeah,
gotta get, one
get
in
our
corn
reference in. Yeah.
So really, that's what he listens to?
Yeah.
Is that what inspired Korn's music? Even the dubstep album?
I don't think so. This dubstep was based on 30s music? Okay, sure. Yeah, okay. So for me, same thing. Gonna go with a 3 out of 5 on this. Definitely a little longer than it should have been. I've said this before, I think even twice in this episode. The scene where the violins were playing and Dave was onlooking with Jenny, I think would have made for a hopeless ending. Stellar acting from Jonathan Lithgow, which comes as no surprise. I was fully expecting something different along the lines of his mind being fractured because of the stroke, but we never really got a clear explanation of, is Dave crazy or is the doll demonic? We don't know. We just assumed that maybe they're one and the same, but who knows? We're just not sure, and I'm thinking they left it open for interpretation because of that. Definitely a unique horror movie and not like any I've seen before. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.